You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow, giving you my fears and sorrows. When you lead me, I will follow.
Amen. As you're aware, probably we're not doing our breakfast for the summer. So how many of you went over to eat breakfast this morning? A few of you. So if you need something, we have some fig bars in the office, and we can give you one afterwards. So we're going to be beginning soul winning visitation this summer. And information is on the cover. If you'd like to come with us, it's open to the body. The fellowship will pair up in groups of two or three and go out together. We'll send you with an experienced visitor, a person that's used to visiting from the church, and a witness, and love for you to come and be a part of that with us, our outreach for the city this summer. And that's going to be on Monday nights at 6 o'clock. So we're calling it Summer Soul Winning at 6. Say that with me. I'm winning at 6. One more time. Kind of a limerick, not really, but, you know, at least a tongue twister. And so I want to encourage you to come and be a part of that with us. And then also life groups. Want to encourage you again to take part in our life groups, get to know our fellowship in a more intimate way, in a smaller way. And there's reasons to join a life group here in our publication, so I want you to take a look at those. And then for Father's Day coming up, we're going to have a fishing clinic and a cookout in the fellowship hall, in the air conditioning. So I want to encourage you to come, invite some men friends and sons, grandsons to come with you, and we'll have a great time in there, learn a little bit more about fishing and break some barbecue together. So I want you to be a part of that with us. Be in prayer also for our musical coming up here June 28th, our 4th of July musical, as we celebrate 250 years as a nation, and want to encourage you to be here for that as well. And then also our VBS. Allison, do we need any more workers for VBS? Come make an announcement.
We are doing really well because so many of you have volunteered to come and help. And you know that children move from place to place, so we need people to help take them from place to place. And we've got all the teachers, but we can always use more help.
Would so those be guides?
Guides.
You need more guides?
Need more guides, right? Okay. And we need helpers for the teachers who are doing the crafts and the Bible lesson and the missions and trying to think of the other things. Rebecca's doing music, and music always takes place in here. And the songs are fabulous. They're very upbeat. They're really nice. And so just to come and be a part of VBS is a wonderful experience. So let us know if you're interested, or just show up Monday morning at 9 o'clock.
Just show up. Let's give Allison a hand. Thank you, Allison. You may not be aware, but Vacation Bible School is the number one form of evangelism for evangelical Christianity in the United States. More children and really just as the populace, more people, kids give their life to Christ with Vacation Bible School than any other form of evangelism. How many of you gave your life to Christ in a vacation Bible school? Would you raise your hands? Okay, not very effective in here, but for the rest of the population, very strong. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, I just thank you for these songs. Lord, we just thank you for the blood of Christ. Lord, we just ask that you would bless these offerings, these tithes, Lord. I ask that you would just give us all boldness to proclaim your word as we head out this week. Give us the strength and wisdom to proclaim the good news to everyone that we run into this week. And in your name we pray. Amen.
When we think about God, we should think about him as a generous God. Our God is a giving God. I mean, he in Scripture talks about how generous he really is by nature. He says that he gives breath and air and sunshine and rain to the just and the unjust. He shares with all of us freely. And when we start looking at the spiritual nature of God's generosity, it's really overwhelming what he does for us, what he wants to give us, what he's providing for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So today I want us to look at a passage that talks about the kind of reciprocal generosity, first of all, between God the Father and God the Son. And then included in it is us and the generosity of us. And as you know, this is contained in the chapter that has one of the longest prayers of the Lord. It is the longest prayer of the Lord Jesus in the New Testament. And so we're going to look at that today and kind of break it apart and from it extrapolate the generosity of the Lord and see his generous kindness to us. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 17, beginning in verse 6. John 17, beginning in verse 6. Jesus said, "I manifested thy name to the men whom thou hast given me out of the world. Thine they are, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have come to know that everything thou hast given me is from thee. For the words which thou gavest me I have given to them, and they received them, and truly understood that I came forth from thee, and they believed that thou didst send me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all things that are mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I have been glorified in them." I like that, don't you? Kind of sing that. Maybe we should make a praise song out of that. All things are mine are thine, and thine are mine. And I've been glorified in them, and I am no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. That's us. And I came to thee, Holy Father, keep them in thy name, the name which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in thy name, which thou hast given me, and I guarded them. And not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now, I'm not going to preach on this, but I want to cap it at the end. The reference to the Judas Iscariot, Kim and I had the opportunity to watch the modern Christ shows related to the Lord Jesus Christ, and specifically the one on the betrayal with Judas. And it's interesting that he said he is the son of perdition, meaning that Judas was born to go to hell. He was destined for hell. Judas could not have gotten saved. In fact, Jesus still at the end said, "Hello, friend, go do what you've got to do." And we see that this reference to him, that it was a fulfillment of Scripture, and Scripture cannot be broken. And we see another example of that, of the Antichrist, who's alive on the earth today somewhere. And he too cannot get saved. I've thought about if I was ever to interact with that person, whoever they are, would I try to witness to them? And I'll tell you emphatically, I would. I would try to witness to them. But would they get saved? They would not. They would not. So here we see this at the end of our passage. But let's look at the generosity of God and his generosity to us and to God the Father to the Son and the Son to the Father. First of all, we are a gift to Jesus from the Father. Every believer on the face of the earth is a gift to the Lord Jesus from God the Father. And we as gifts to God, from God the Father to the Son, it's the reward, part of the reward for the heavy lifting he did, the massive, indescribable, innumerable lifting that he did on the cross of Calvary when he died for all of humanity. And we see that in our first verse, verse 6, he says, "And I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world." And so we see in verse 6 this, and then he says, "Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word." One of the characteristics of all of us that have been given to God, from God to the Lord Jesus, is that we obey the word of God. We attempt to live for Christ. We attempt to understand the word of God, and we attempt to obey it. If you're not trying to obey the word of God, if you're not attempting to live for Jesus, are you really part of that gift? Are you really a part of that number of those who really walk in Christ and know God the Father? Those that know God the Father want to keep his word. You and I have been fortunate. We've been born into a world, a society here in the West, in the United States, where we openly have access to Scripture. You could go tomorrow to a physical bookstore, Christian bookstore, and choose any kind of Bible you want. Or you could go on Amazon or one of those others and order any version of Scripture you want. You could order 10 of them. You could order 100 of them. That's not true in half of the world. Half of the world, you'd be in prison for that, or tortured, or killed for that. And we see that God's given us his word, and he wants us to read it, to understand it, and obey it. It's a high priority in my life. I'll be honest with you, and it may sound strange coming from a pastor, I don't really like to read. You know, I do read, and I'll read books, but primarily I do read the Bible every day. And I thought, if this is absolutely true from Genesis to Revelation and everything else, we doubt everything we see these days. We're living in a misinformation society. But you have the Word of God, the immutable integrity, the God-breathed book, and you have access to it, and you can read it every day. I'm finding more and more now, as I share Christ in our society, in our community, even here in this area, and then as we travel, there are a lot of people that don't have a Bible. There are so many times now I'll lead someone to Christ and I'll say, "Do you have a Bible at home?" "I don't." And so I try to keep Gideon New Testaments in the car, in the truck, and I hand those out as much as I can. But we have our Bibles. How many of you have a Bible? Raise your hands. Okay. How many of you have a Bible here at church today? Raise your hands. The reason you do is because we use the Bible. And because we get into the Scriptures, but you have to understand it and obey it. And all of those that are given as a gift from God the Father to the Lord Jesus, all of us, that we are Bible readers, Bible understanders, and we live the Word of God. Secondly, everything is a gift from God the Father to the Son. In verse 7, he says, "Now they have come to know that everything thou hast given me is from thee." And then in verse 10, "And all things that are mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I have been glorified in them." We see here in Scripture that everything has been given as a gift from God the Father to the Son. And so literally, he has the authority over it. And we see in Colossians 1, I love this passage. It's one of my favorites. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. For by him, Jesus, all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Literally, Jesus is the glue that holds the universe together. He is the creator of it, he is the owner of it, and he holds it all together. And they know in physics that on the atomic level, that the magnetics and the poles of the different aspects of the atomic world, that really it shouldn't hold together. Jesus holds it together. And he literally has it all. God the Father has given it to him. He created it, and God has given it to him, and he has it all. We see, thirdly, that God's words are a gift from God the Father to the Son, to us. In verse 8, for the words which thou gavest me, I have given to them, and they received them, and truly understood that I came forth from thee, and they believed that thou didst send me. God has given us his words, his God-breathed words. And the Greek word in the New Testament for the inspiration of God is theo, which is God, pneustos, which is breath, the breath of God. It's the exact same idea in Genesis where God created Adam, and it said he formed him together from the dust of the earth, common clay, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And here we see that God says that about his word. I have breathed life into the word of God. It's a living thing. Years ago, I was having devotions in the bed with Kim at my first church. I was a newer, younger pastor. And I was just thinking about this whole idea of the God-breathed book. And I had my Bible open in front of me. We were laying in bed there, and I had it open, and I blew across the pages and ruffled them. And I said, Kim, this is the God-breathed book. And right after I blew into the pages, she said, well, then you, and I said, it's the mind of God. She said, you just blew God's mind. But you and I, we have the word of God, this living word. And you may say, my Christian walk, my Christian life seems stale. It just seems haphazard, maybe apathetic, not alive. Jesus seems far, far away. Well, I want to ask you, are you reading the Word of God? Are you staying in God's Word that he's given us? Jesus said, we don't live by bread or food alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And I want to tell you, the cure to a stale, backslidden Christian life is to read the Word of God, to study God's Word, to think God's thoughts, to be in the Word of God. And so we see that God's words are a gift from God the Father to the Son to us. In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 67 through 71, we see as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew, and they were not walking with him anymore. And Jesus said, therefore, to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? Do you want to leave me? He said. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, And we have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Where else can we go for the words of life? The Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, Jesus is a gift given from the Father to us. I want you to say with me John 3:16 on the count of three. One, two, three. For God, the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We see that God has said, I've given you my Son Jesus, and in him is eternal life. God has given us Jesus. He is a gift from God the Father. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, part of some people's Romans Road, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of eternal life is through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we're going out on our summer soul winning this summer, when we go out on Monday nights, we're going to be bearing with us the free gift of eternal life, a gift freely given. I love this. I love the concept of it. Years ago, I was training a couple of deacons in my first church to witness, and we were out on visitation one night. And we visited a young couple that had just started coming to our church, and he was a mechanic. And they'd worked in the area, and so we're witnessing to him. He's not a believer. Coming to church with us was their first church experience as a couple. And so we're sitting there, and I'm training these two guys to share Evangelism Explosion, that presentation of the gospel. And there's one part of it where it talks about a free gift, and you're to use an illustration of a free gift. And so I was sitting there talking to this mechanic and his wife, and he was lackadaisical at best. He was not really into it. And so I got to this point in the presentation, and I said to him, you know, eternal life is a free gift, and like any gift, you have to receive it. And I said, if I had a Rolex watch in my hand, and I said, I just want to give you this $1,500, $2,000 watch. I just want to give it to you. And I had this watch in my hand. Now, I had a Seiko on at the time. I took my Seiko off, and I said, this is not a Rolex, but let's pretend. And so I said, if I had this Rolex watch and I was offering it to you, what would you have to do for it to become yours? All of a sudden, he just locked into me. I mean, he just locked on. And so I proceeded with the presentation, and he gave his heart and life to Christ. From that illustration on, I had him, or God had him. The Spirit of God had him. And he gave his life to Christ. And so at the end, after he prayed to receive Christ, he said, Pastor, I have a question for you. And I said, what is it? He said, how did you know that last week I was given a Rolex watch? And I said, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know. And I'll be honest with you also, I share this illustration all the time. Usually I use a cross pen or something like that that I have with me. I virtually never use a watch illustration. This is the first time ever, ever I've used a Rolex watch illustration. And I asked these deacons have been visiting with me for 10 weeks. Have y'all ever heard me share that? And they said, never. I said, I didn't know, but God did. Can I hear an amen? One of the exciting things about sharing the free gift of eternal life, like we're talking about, the gift that God wants to give, is that he enables us with his Spirit and guides us and moves us along, just like this illustration with this young mechanic, auto mechanic. And so we see here that Jesus is a gift given from the Father to us. The wages, the paycheck, what we deserve is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? And that's the question today for all of us and everybody we know. Have you received the gift? Have you accepted the gift? Or are you trying to add something to it? Well, God, you know how talented I am. What a deal you've got with me. You know, and so we see that he's a gift. And then fifthly, Jesus gives us the gift of his intercession, his prayers for us in verse 9. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. If no one else is praying for you, Jesus is. The omniscient Son of God, the limitless, all-powerful, all-knowing Son of God is praying for every one of us. If you don't have any, if your mother doesn't even pray for you, Jesus is praying for you. The Son of God is interceding for us. And Scripture says the agency of it is the Holy Spirit, that he prays for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. He intercedes for us. Jesus is our intercessor, and Jesus prays for us. I've been waking up in the morning lately praying for several of you that are here today that are struggling with cancers and various serious illnesses, and just praying. My granddaughter, if you can remember her, Shiloh, has been fighting some viral activity because of the cross-cultural situation they're in. Her little body is not immune yet, and so been praying for little Shiloh. And then praying for y'all. And wake up in the morning, I'm laying in bed, my eyes pop open, and I'll start rehearsing this. But then right after I do that and mention your names to him, then I start thanking him for his generosity. How many times are we just asking for things? God bless you. And we don't thank him for things. We don't thank him. And so we see that he is our intercessor. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's our lawyer. He's our intercessor. He stands between for us. He's our defender. Number 6, God gave us his name, and Jesus gave his name. So we see that God named us, he named Jesus, and that's in verse 11. And I am no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep them in thy name, the name which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. And so we see here the idea of him naming us. And in Scripture, there's several references, several aspects of this. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Why is it that when people hit their thumb with a hammer, they don't say Buddha? They don't say Krishna? They don't say Allah. What do they say? Jesus. You know, why? Why is Jesus' name turned into a cuss word? Why is Jesus' name the only name now in our public school system in America that teachers are not to share, to write on the board, to mention? Why are they filtering out and censoring that one name? Because there's no other name under heaven given among humanity by which we must be saved, but at the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, Therefore also God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. And we see in Scripture that it talks about every tongue confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I don't care how they use his name right. Well, I do, but it doesn't matter how they use his name right now. There is not a human on earth out of 8.5 billion who are not going to say his name when we go into eternity. They can be Buddhists. They can be Muslims. They can be Hindus. They can be cultists. They can be occultists. They can be in any other form of worship or idolatry or whatever the case might be. But when we go out into eternity, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, a portion of them are going to be confessing it to our Savior, our intercessor, our advocate, our lawyer, the love of our lives. And then the major portion, the vast majority, are going to be saying it to their judge, their ruler, their creator, their accountability. And they're going to be still sharing it. So I just want to encourage you today, don't be muffled. Don't be intimidated. If he is your Lord and you're his slave, let's identify with our master. Can I hear an amen? Don't give in. Don't back up. Don't back down. Then we see also in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And when he had found them, he brought them to Antioch. And it came about that for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And they were saying that because they said, these people, they are so much like Jesus. Now, they had seen Jesus. They had seen his miracles. They heard him publicly teaching. They saw his activity in a public way. They were firsthand eyewitness accounts. And they remember what he was like. He was loving. He was patient. He was kind. Children flocked to him. The sick flocked to him. People recognized that he had an overwhelming compassion. He wept over people. It said when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. They saw all that as eyewitnesses, and now they saw these people that were changed by him, and they said, they look just like him. Let me ask you this. Do your neighbors look at you that live on both sides of you, wherever you're living, and say, he or she, they look just like Jesus? Do the people you work with, does your family look at you and say, you know, they make me think of someone. They make me think of Jesus. And so we see this name. They were first called Christians. And then I love this one. I've got a little visual for you, if they can bring it up. So in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, we've got this to look forward to. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. So we're all in for a rock concert. Jesus is going to give us a rock. He's going to give us a little rock, a little white rock with our name on it, a new name. And he's going to rename all of us. And unlike me, he will remember those names. Do you have trouble with names sometimes? And so Jesus has given us, renaming all of us. He's given us a brand new name. And in this passage, in his prayer, he refers to that kind of activity. Then we see finally, Jesus gave us security at the end of verse 12. While I was with them, I was keeping them in thy name, which thou hast given me, and I guarded them. And not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Now, obviously, historically, this is talking about the 12 apostles and the discipleship band. And to our knowledge, even up to 300 of those disciples, the only one that defected, the only one that was lost for eternity, was Judas Iscariot. But he's saying here, I will keep you. I will guard you. Now, if you pill your head at night sometimes and you have anxiety, you have fear, there's a lot of uncertainty in life now. I mean, at any moment, the world can blow up. We don't know how close all this is, and the interlinking between Iran and China and Russia and then us and Israel and this power play on the earth. And we know from Scripture, unfortunately, we do know how it's going to end. We do know emphatically, perfectly how it's going to end. But we don't have to fear. When we lay down at night, Jesus says, I'm guarding you. I'm protecting you. I'm your personal security. That is such a comfort. In fact, if you're racked with some of those things, number one, exercise spiritual warfare. Lord, if any demons have been assigned to me, bind them and cast them into the pit of hell. Remove their thoughts from my mind, their influence from my life. God doesn't give the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So you just say, Lord, take authority, bind these spirits, cast them into the pit of hell. It's the only time you can Christian cuss and tell demons to go to hell. Because Scripture says we can. We have that authority. And he says, I'm giving you eternal life. I'm guarding you. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. Jesus is guarding us. In John 6, the passage we looked at a moment ago, in the last couple of verses, it refers again. Jesus answered them, did I myself not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil? Now he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. So here we see the security of the Lord Jesus Christ. God fulfills his promises to us, promises made, promises kept. And he seals us with his Holy Spirit. He has seated us in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Now we're living it out here on earth. You're sitting in church, I'm standing here. And we're living it out here on earth. But spiritually, we are already seated. How are we doing that? How is that happening? It's happening because we're in Christ. And Christ is seated right now, this morning, on the right hand of the Father. He's seated there, and we're seated in him. And we're already there. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today. And Lord, thank you so much for all the promises you make, all the promises you keep. Thank you that you are 1,000% true, always true, forever true. And Lord, I just want to ask you, please, right now, to speak to our hearts and comfort us and encourage us and strengthen us. And thank you, Lord, that you've named us. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us your word. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us your son. And I ask you right now for someone maybe listening by the radio, maybe you're in your car right now, and you haven't received that gift, allow Jesus to give it to you. Ask him to give it to you. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any person hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into them and live with them and them with me. He's standing right now at your heart's door. Maybe you're watching us on YouTube. He is standing right now at your heart's door. And we'd like to invite you right now to just ask him to come into your life. Open the door. Lord Jesus, I open the door to my life. Please enter. Please come in. Please cleanse me and forgive me of all my sins. And thank you for your sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. I love you, Lord, and I'll live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to extend our invitation this morning as we do every Sunday and want to encourage you to obey God, do whatever he's laying on your heart. He'll bless you for it. You'll leave here today glad you obeyed him in whatever he said. Maybe you have a prayer request. Maybe there's something we can pray for you about. Let's stand together and sing and you come. We love Mark. He's one of our deacons. He's taught in our school. He's been our Wanda commander for years, he and his able assistant. And you're struggling right now with cancer, correct? A form of cancer.
Multiple myeloma.
Multiple myeloma. I felt led of the Lord today for us to pray for you. And I want to do that, and then I'd like you to dismiss us in prayer after that. So you hold this, and let me pray for you. And I want you, if you would, to just hold your hands toward Mark. Just hold them out. And as I'm praying, if you would, pray the same thing, that God would heal him as a testimony for the Lord Jesus and strengthen him. Amen? Okay, let's pray together. Father, we just want to ask you to be with Mark and touch him. Please, Almighty God, if you would, heal Mark. Take this cancer from him. Kill these contrary cells that are in his body and strengthen him. We just pray you'll pour your spirit out upon him in a supernatural way. We love him. And as a testimony to your son and to us, we want to ask if you would to touch Mark and heal him. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark, can you dismiss us?
Lord God, only you, our Lord, thank you for the gift of salvation paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross by his death, burial, resurrection, and by our faith. We're freed. Thank you, Lord. We receive this gift from you, so generously given, and we say thank you. Would you inspire us to share this with others? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. God bless. You're dismissed.
And your faithful deacon, who's been a blessing to me, he's going to come say a quick word. Yeah. Yes, sir.
I'll try and be quick because ordinarily we're trying to beat the Presbyterians to Sonny's, but wanted to remind everybody that we don't need to rush off because of the spaghetti dinner luncheon. Again, don't mean to belabor a point. I know that Rebecca spoke of this, and we mentioned it briefly last week. But I wanted to brag on Rebecca for a second. We don't have a youth pastor, a permanent one. She's standing in the gap. She stepped up and did this and stuff. And so we're having a luncheon and a cake auction at this luncheon. And if you can't make it to the cake auction, Alan or I could be trusted with your funds, and we could bid on your bid on cakes for you if you like. And I joke about that, but it really does bless my heart when I think of what Rebecca's doing and what Pastor Lefwich is doing, sharing inspired messages last week and today. Thank you again, Pastor. We appreciate you. Very much looking forward to Pastor Harvey Webb next week. Again, standing in the gap while Pastor's gone. In football, we refer to that as next man up. And that's what we've got here, and I'm thankful for that, at least, anyway. So, spaghetti, luncheon, and cake auction. And then there was a little confusion, I think, with the Father's Day All-Star, or All-Star Baseball Game event. It's the 15th. We can sign up for it. After church, I'll be up there. It's $8 for kids, $10 for adults. Again, a sweet time of fellowship. Again, what Pastor Lefwich mentioned about, you know, being in the moment and leaving by a testimony of what you've done and we're only here for a moment. That's true. Take advantage of opportunities to gather and esteem our fathers and our grandfathers and, you know, be an example to our kids. Let's pray, and then we'll go. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. Father, we pray, too, for divine appointments that while it's summertime and the living's easy and we kind of throttle back, help us to remain diligent in sharing the saving grace and your truth and your word everywhere we go. Father, we love you and praise you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stewart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve here at First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hi, my name is John Demery, and I serve the First Baptist Church of Stewart through our outreach ministries. Our outreach ministry is about saving lives for eternity. It's also our way of getting involved with people outside the walls of our church. Some examples of some of our ministries are, one, the Feast of Plenty, which at Thanksgiving we serve our community with free Thanksgiving meals. And at Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of Jesus through a musical performed by our choir, and it's also free and open to the community. At Easter time, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus by serving our community with food and games and fellowship, and of course, the Word of God. We are currently raising money for an indoor athletic facility, which will serve our church and our school and our entire community. And then throughout the year, we participate in other activities such as golf and fishing and hunting and women's and men's Bible studies. We also offer a program for young mothers called MOPS. The goals of our ministry is, of course, to reach people to come to the love of Jesus and to encourage them to join the family of God. And we ask you, won't you come and meet our family?
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and high school dual enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence, of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There's a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stewart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
My name is Tom Snipes, and I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Stewart. I am the Life Group Bible Study teacher for the senior adults. I've attended Bible study class all my life and have learned a lot about the Bible, but there's still a lot more I need to learn. I've heard some people say that the Bible is easy to understand. I'm not sure I agree with that because I find a lot in the Bible that I don't understand. That is why life group Bible studies are so important. We all need to read and understand the Bible, and how can we understand it if we don't study it? As a teacher, I have to study hard if I'm going to effectively teach those in my class. Each Sunday, we study topics with life application and have question and answer time for discussion. As Christians, we need to grow spiritually, and the way we do that is to spend time studying the Scriptures. We enjoy studying the Bible with each other, and Sunday morning life group Bible study is a valuable way to learn more about the Bible. Pastor Darrell asked me about 17 years ago if I would consider leading the senior adult life group class. I told him I would pray about it. I did pray about it, and God impressed upon me that I needed to say yes. In these 17 years, I have learned so much and have been blessed to lead this life group for the glory of God. I want to invite you to come and be a part of our life group Bible studies, beginning at 9 o'clock each Sunday morning. We also have life group studies for all ages. I do hope you will consider checking us out and experiencing our love for you and Jesus. I look forward to meeting you and making some new friends.
Reborn Youth Ministry is for students in 6th through 12th grade. We invite students each Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. to get up, get out, and get moving. Students will hear high-energy Christian music and messages straight from God's Word that they can apply to their lives, relevant to issues they face each day. Friendships are formed through team-building games, sports, art, and service projects, and special events throughout the month. If you or a teen you know is looking for a Christ-centered, safe, and friendly environment, please check us out. On Sunday mornings, we offer a life group for our students at 9 a.m. and invite them to join our worship service right afterwards.
Hello, my name is Colleen Highstone. Our church is a family, a fellowship, and a body of believers. We study God's Word together, we worship together, pray together, serve together, rejoice together, and support each other. If I had to use only one word to describe our church, it would be loving. I count myself blessed to be a member of this church. See the faithfulness of our church family in supporting our many church ministries, which includes this weekly radio broadcast. As the Bible says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our church motto is connecting people to Jesus and one another with love. Our church members live that out every day. If there's any way we can serve you or your family, don't hesitate to give us a call. We'd love to meet you and invite you to join us on Sunday mornings as we worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The Lord Jesus tells us in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall people give to you. For with the same measure you give, shall it be given unto you again." I'd like to encourage you today to send a gift to this ministry to keep us on the air. We are a conservative, Bible-preaching, teaching church that declares the entire counsel of God. We don't skate around controversial topics or moral issues that God's Word specifically deals with. If you've been blessed by our 20-year ministry on this station, WCNO 89.9 FM, then please give. There's several ways you can do that. First of all, you could make us a tax-deductible check today to First Baptist Church of Stuart, 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994. Or you can give online at fbcstuart.org, and just click on our tab for giving at the top of the homepage. It'll take you to several options. And then there, if you would check radio broadcast supporter. And God bless you as you reach forward to us and assist us in sharing and proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, "Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstuart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stuart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Please listen to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael every Saturday at 3 p.m. for encouragement from the Holy Bible for life's journey. Thank you.
I'm Mindy Molina, Investment Advisor Rep, Licensed Insurance Agent, and Fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to the Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.